It is the 27th day of December 2021. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. My name is Stu Peters. We pray that all of you had a very Merry Christmas, despite the best efforts of the Biden junta to make it otherwise. With communist and draconian overreaching vaccine mandates, mask requirements, and of course, thousands of canceled flights. We're spending this week looking back on our greatest hits from the past year. And today, we're dedicating the whole show to a very important single segment, our epic interview with Dr. David Martin from last July. Now, it wasn't a very Merry Christmas for New York Times reporter Carlos Tejada. In fact, he wasn't here. He dropped dead of a heart attack at just 49 years old. Tejada died just one day after he made an Instagram post bragging about his new booster shot. Meanwhile, three under 30 soccer players have all dropped dead from heart attacks in the past week. Adding to the long list of athletes that we highlight here on the Stu Peters Show that we talk about all the time who have suddenly died from heart ailments this year. This won't be as surprising to any of the more than 1 million people who watched our Dr. David Martin interview last summer. He opened our discussion by talking about the acceptable death rate that Big Pharma decides on when they're developing these shots. And we went from there to a far more wide-ranging, deep conversation on the entire COVID-19 plandemic, the vaccines, whether or not the virus is real, if it was chimerically engineered, and who's behind it. Take a look.
When you inject a known toxin, and we're going to get into this when we talk about the biological and chemical weapons laws and treaties of the United States and the world, for that matter. When you inject a known toxin into a person, you are actually injecting an agent of death. That's what you're doing. And you cannot sit there and hide behind the diaphanous fig leaf of going, well, we're doing it in the public interest, when you know, no, not have a hunch, you know that it is in fact lethal in many instances. Pfizer has even stated that they have an acceptable death rate. I don't know, Stu, do you have an acceptable death rate? Do you have something where you go, well, yeah, that's acceptable?
No, I mean, of course not. And a lot of people say, well, there are risks with every vaccine.
But it's not a risk when you know that you are putting a, and get this very carefully, because this is where the RNA story falls apart. People think that somehow or another, a piece of SARS coronavirus was turned into a vaccine. That is not true. A computer-simulated, synthetic, chimeric, computer-generated code uploaded by the Chinese in January was given to Moderna to put into an injection so that your cells, in the case of the RNA vaccines, so that your cells would produce the S1 spike protein synthesis, not the actual virus, the way we used to do vaccines. This was a computer code uploaded by the Chinese into U.S. manufacturing to inject a pathogen stimulant into the American population. Let's get really, really clear.
Yeah, we have to, because the interview that you recently did was very technical.
Yeah.
I watched it. I took away with it what I did, and a lot of people took away from it other things. But here today, I just really want to get clear to everybody who has any questions whatsoever. This was pre-planned.
Yes.
There are patents dating from what you have discovered all the way back to 2002.
Yep.
At minimum.
Yep.
This is a planned genocide. I mean, there's just really no two ways about it.
So let's take this out of the risk of hyperbole, and let's give it to you in the criminal's own words.
Yeah.
Right. Now, remember that the person I'm going to now quote is the veterinarian, not physician, veterinarian, who was responsible on February 6th and February 7th of 2020 to control the message that this pathogen came from a bat somewhere in China. Right. This is a story. And we have in Fauci's emails now, we have on February 6th and on February 7th, Peter Daszak on the record stating that we need a cover story that distances him and the Chinese from this particular pathogen. And that's in public records. That's not my opinion. But let's listen to his words in 2015, shall we? Because this is the criminal indicting himself.
Yeah.
We need to increase public understanding of the need for medical countermeasures such as a pan-coronavirus vaccine. A key driver is the media, and the economics will follow the hype. We need to use that hype to our advantage to get to the real issues. Investors will respond if they see profit at the end of the process. Now, Stu, I'm not going out on a limb.
Those are
That's
his
not
words.
A public health statement. That is a mercenary. That is a mercenary of death.
For profit. Death for profit.
Oh, and what does he say? Investors will respond if they see profit at the end of the process.
So let's identify
Anthony
those investors.
Fauci's guy.
Okay, so let's identify those investors. Who specifically is he talking about?
Well, listen, he's talking about the investors in Moderna, in Pfizer, and in NIAID and CDC. Remember that NIAID and CDC, as much as we pretend these are public organizations and public institutions, they are what we call regulatory capture. They are the front. Think of them as the R&D shop for the Modernas and for the Pfizers and for the AstraZenecas and for the Johnson & Johnsons. And the fact of the matter is, these companies, going back to 1990, remember the first S1 spike protein vaccine, the first one, was issued to Pfizer in 1990. We are being told this is some sort of new thing, new response, new pathogen, new whatever else. No, it isn't. Pfizer patented the first, in this case, canine S1 spike protein coronavirus vaccine in 1990. And we have, without question, the architect of this scam on record in 2015 stating that a key driver is the media and economics will follow the hype. That is collusion. That is racketeering. And that is under the Patriot Act, Section 802 of the Patriot Act. That is domestic terrorism.
Violation of U.S. law, the injection of a bioweapon, according to U.S. code.
Yep.
So this says prohibitions with respect to biological weapons. A, in general, whoever knowingly develops, produces, stockpiles, transfers, acquires, retains, or possesses any biological agent, toxin, or delivery system for use as a weapon, or knowingly assists a foreign state, China.
There you go. And read that part again. Or knowingly assists a foreign state.
China. Or any organization to do so, or attempts, threatens, or conspires to do the same, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned for life or any term of years or both.
Correct.
So what is keeping Anthony Fauci, what is keeping these people free?
The Why U.S. Department of Justice.
Mm-hmm.
The U.S. Department of Justice has failed the American people and has had this information since April of 2020, all of the information I'm sharing with you, and they have sat on it and done nothing. This has gone to U.S. attorneys. This has gone to the Department of Justice. I sent this in April of 2020. I sent this to the Office of the Inspector General of the Department of Health and Human Services, and not a single law enforcement entity in the United States has taken this seriously, not one.
Can you speculate why that might be?
Well, it's not a speculation. It's very clearly the situation where they have been ordered not to. Because in any other situation, I mean, listen, I've worked with the DOJ on antitrust matters in the past. You probably know, Stu, that my organization, MCAM, was involved in one of the largest white-collar tax frauds in U.S. history, which was U.S. corporations and universities colluding to defraud the federal government back in the late 1990s and early 2000s. And we were at the time accused of being the second largest tax collector in U.S. history, which is kind of a dubious distinction. You don't get a lot of Christmas cards if you're a tax collector, but I don't think things have changed very much for the last couple thousand years.
They're not amongst my favorite people on the list.
You know, probably none of us are, you know, setting out cookies for the tax collector. But when we were doing that, what we found was that there is an enormous amount of appetite inside of the Department of Justice for antitrust investigations. And you know this to be the case. They are allegedly going after Google and Facebook, and we've been told that that is their priority. But the fact of the matter is, the Department of Justice has abjectly failed every U.S. attorney in this country. Every part of the DOJ's antitrust division has been focused singularly on the social media price fixing, search engine optimization, restraint of trade, those kinds of things. They've been singularly focused on that as the fig leaf to hide behind what is in fact a much larger crime. The crime is that we have collusion between what is called interlocking directorates inside of antitrust law. We have Anthony Fauci at NIAID. We have the director of the Center for Disease Control in China. And we have Dr. Elias from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, all sitting on a board, all colluding to actually create, price fix, and market direct this pandemic.
So there really is no virus.
No.
And we have been talking to, a large Rolodex of experts weighing in on this for a very long time. And I think right. that as the layers of this fruit, whatever you want to call it, get peeled back, as the rind gets cut off and we start really looking for the seeds here, that is the direction that all of this conversation has been going. And I have come out and said it. Obviously, then I'm fact-checked by USA Today and Lead Stories and Right Wing Watch. Yeah. All these people come yeah. after me. So what is it going to take to widely disseminate this to billions of global citizens who are really at risk? And then let's talk about really what is the risk here.
Yeah. So let's go back to the opening statement, which is this novel virus thing. As you know from the work that I shared on Reiner Fulmich's interview and other things that I have published and put out in the public record, in 2002, Ralph Baerk at the University of North Carolina, together with a couple of his colleagues at the time were two other co-inventors. But in 2002, what they did was they filed a patent on what they referred to as an infectious transmission defective form of coronavirus. Now, think about what I just said, an infectious transmission defective. What does that mean? Well what that means yeah. is in 1999, Anthony Fauci wanted to make coronavirus a vector for an HIV vaccine. He wanted to use a virus as a vaccine. And by the way, that sounds as bad as what I just said, that it's actually a bad idea. But what he wanted to do was take what he knew to be a highly manipulatable platform, which he called the coronavirus, and he wanted to make it mutated and chimerically altered and recombinated so that he could get to a means by which you could target human lung epithelium. That's the cells inside your lung. And what Ralph Baerk's team did is in 2002, they patented a whole bunch of variations of coronavirus, which would make it more infectious to humans. And this is where that biological and chemical weapons thing becomes important. Because if you're building a thing to be more infectious to humans, according to Ralph Baerk, it's justified because it's for therapeutic use. Hey, Stu, has there ever in the history of humanity been a technology developed under the guise of a good thing that was ever used for a bad thing? Or am I just naive thinking that maybe if you make a natural substance more toxic to humans, that's actually a bad thing?
Yeah. And things designed for good get hijacked and used for bad all the time.
So let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Let's say Ralph was just this innocent, bumbling scientist at UNC Chapel Hill doing his damnedest to figure out a way to help humanity. Well, guess what? When you make an infectious replication defective virus that is meant to target human lungs so that it's more toxic, I don't care how Oppenheimer-ish you want to go on this story, you built a Frankenstein. And in 2002, we knew that that Frankenstein was what it was. And remember, that was the year before SARS number one in China, right? So we didn't have SARS until we made the weapon.
So the patents reflect that the weapon was made before the virus or the set
or
of
whatever
symptoms,
this thing
whatever
is.
This is, the set of symptoms being referred to as a virus.
Yeah.
Was engineered by man.
Yep.
Funded by Fauci and his cronies, paid for by U.S. tax dollars. You and I paid for this stuff to get done.
Yep.
Leaked out of this lab intentionally in Wuhan, sent all over the world.
Let's not jump there.
Okay.
Because I'm going to tell you, I'm the first to suggest to you that the same mainstream media that made it illegal to talk about the Wuhan leak, you know, 6 months ago, and then suddenly made it fair game to talk about again, is using distraction about a leak. This is not about a virus. And the story of where did it come from is actually a total misdirect. This is not, as the official records are very clear, this is not a virus. Okay? If you go on any of the public records, whether you look at the GenBank accession, whether you look at GISAID, whether you look at any of these things, what you see is what's called phylogenetic trees, where they're trying to determine how did the virus mutate in its various locations. But here's the problem. The problem is nothing started in Wuhan. Nothing. As a matter of fact, if you look at that first 2 weeks of January, you see gene sequences that are seemingly uploaded from multiple locations. And it turns out that if you go back and you look at the first four sequences that were uploaded, the first upload, which happened on the 20th of December, 2019, predates allegedly the first patient.
So with all this now, discoverable, when I'm saying things like, when you start to realize that the vaccine wasn't brought here to fight a virus, but that the virus was introduced to introduce the vaccine.
Correct.
That then things will become a lot more clear. That was an accurate statement.
Absolutely. But here's the problem. The problem is the virus story is what Peter Daszak desperately needed. He needed the media to hype a story. If I told you, Stu, it would be great if you just took this treatment, because maybe a bad actor one day is going to unleash, you know, some sort of Pandora's box chimera on us. You would go, nah, I'm not going to do it. And you wouldn't do it because it would be a dumb idea. If you are trying desperately, as Anthony Fauci has been, and these are in public records of the NIAID Advisory Council minutes. So if anybody wants to go back and look, fact check those away. He has been promoting a universal influenza vaccine for years to no effect. You know why? Because the influenza vaccine doesn't work that well. And most people don't take it. And they don't take it because, are you ready for this? It doesn't work that well.
Right. Yeah.
And so here he is trying desperately after the 2018 flu season, which was unbelievably deadly. Tons of people dying. He tried desperately to parlay that into a congressional mandate for universal influenza vaccine. These are in the public records of the NIDA council meetings in September and February of each year. And you go back and look, and they lament the fact that despite all of the death and destruction, people didn't fall for the vaccine. Cue a new pathogen. Cue a veterinarian, right? Not a doctor.
Right.
Cue a veterinarian to make up a story about a bat and a pangolin walking into a Chinese bar.
Are you starting to see why more than a million people very quickly viewed that video, this thing should have 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 million views. And if it has your attention, you just wait. This thing gets really deep. We'll continue with Dr. David Martin in 60 seconds. Go nowhere.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA.
When I got MyPillow, I'm asleep almost immediately. I stay asleep at night and I wake up more well-rested in the morning.
That's why I invented MyPillow. My patented fill adjusts to your exact individual needs and helps keep your neck supported and aligned. I'm interrupting this commercial right now. Retailers have canceled MyPillow, and to thank you for your support, I'm going to pass the savings directly on to you. Go to MyPillow.com right now to get deep discounts on all MyPillow products. For example, you can get my premium MyPillows, regularly $69.98, now just $29.98, the lowest price ever.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Welcome back to the Stu Peters Show, best of 2021, revisiting, celebrating some of our most viral moments. Believe me, there's been no shortage of them because people are starving. They're thirsty for the truth, for real information as we battle a multiple decades long propaganda brainwashing operation by a media that is all owned by the same people. They're controlled and manipulated. A huge portion of their budget comes from these pharmaceutical companies. Right? And the likes of Vanguard and BlackRock, do your research. So knowing that, I asked Dr. David Martin, how do we disseminate this information to the masses? Take a look. How do we widely disseminate this to the world? I mean, there are billions of lives at stake here.
It turns out that when you have adopted a dogma, and this is what it is, it's a belief system. When you've adopted a dogma that says that industrial pharmaceutical management of the human population is the answer, which is what NIAID and Anthony Fauci have done since he took over in 1984, which is, I'm going to frame the world through the lens that health is going to be delivered through an injectable. If that's the $191 billion enterprise you've run since 1984, and at the near end of your professional career, which we can all agree is close to an end, thank God that, you know, we're getting close to Anthony Fauci's useful life. But after $191 billion of public expenditures, you know what? He still hasn't gotten his way. He is desperate, and he is desperate to leave the legacy of he's the guy that took us into the CRISPR gene therapy future of humanity, where we are all a series of computer codes managed by a corporate industrial pharmaceutical complex. He's desperate to get that happening. And it turns out to do that requires the acts of desperation. But I want to read you something which is really quite problematic for his own story, because this comes out of the Chinese publication that CDC references when they talk about allegedly a novel virus. But listen to this. Mm-hmm. In the clinical features of patients infected with 2019 novel coronavirus in Wuhan, China, the official paper that is the article that was published in The Lancet that gave rise to the whole nonsense story. And remember that this paper was published January 24th, but it was submitted for publication in the beginning of January. Let me read you an alarming first paragraph.
Okay.
By January 2nd, 2020, 41 admitted hospital patients had been identified as having laboratory confirmed 2019 COVID infection. So we have 41 patients on January 2nd with laboratory confirmed cases of a thing that wasn't isolated until the following week. How do you have laboratory confirmation of a thing that doesn't yet exist? In what time machine? What time machine would be required to get to, on January 2nd, we have 41 laboratory confirmed cases where the laboratory confirmed data is coming from an RT-PCR run somewhere to confirm the existence of a pathogen that had not yet existed.
It's all a lie. The whole thing is a lie, and there are so many people that are in on it. I mean, yeah, we're talking about a plan where a few ruling elite control an entire world.
That's exactly right.
And we're talking about including the military. Why the incessant push for the military? Well, if you're the controller of that technology, oh, these people over here are resisting. Push that button. Activate military. Destroy these people.
Well, and it's I think a little more problematic. And this is where, you know, I try to stay just in the fact pattern because I really care about staying in the fact pattern. But it's worth going out on a little limb here. And it is a little limb. This is Dave's hypothesis.
All right.
Okay. So I'm admitting to this is not my usual chapter and verse reference thing.
We do that to people often.
But if you are going to soften the battlefield, if you are going to weaken an opponent, wouldn't it be great if you could get the military in your opponent country to be the front line of injecting soldiers so that they become incapacitated?
Right.
Wouldn't it be a great idea to use our own laws, which turn our men and women in uniform into guinea pigs for industrial pharmaceutical abuse? Wouldn't it be great to use them as the front line of forced injections so that, God forbid, if there was ever a need to defend this country, wouldn't it be great to know that you've actually injected a primer into the entirety of the military complex so that they cannot respond to a new threat?
The goal here is to inoculate every global citizen, is it not?
Oh, yeah, but where does it start? It's always started with our military. And if I'm a hostile foreign actor, whether that is a foreign entity or whether that is a industrial complex, I don't even care. If I know that the first place I'm going to force injections is in every member of the armed services, it would make great sense to upload a toxin gene sequence into the injection.
Well, while we're on the off the beaten Dr. David Martin path,
yeah,
let's step out. Let's just stay out of the factual realm for a second and continue hypothesis.
Yeah.
The entire program has been a bioweapon program to inject the Chinese-sourced computer-simulated pathogen into a global population under the guise of a pandemic, which is something that you have been reporting on for 20 months. Yep. You have sent this to the DOJ. You have sent this to law enforcement agencies. You have testified to this in front of Congress.
Yep.
All of it has gone nowhere.
Yep.
Because these people have been ordered. So again, how do you see us stopping it? Of course.
Well, I think, Stu, the reason for my obsession, and this is kind of bridging back to my normal shtick, the reason for my obsession with having conversations like the one I'm having with you is at some point enough of the public will hear this where someone is golfing with a U.S. attorney. You know, somebody on your show knows a U.S. attorney. Somebody on, I don't know, Reiner Fulmich's video feed knows a U.S. attorney, knows somebody. I had the good fortune of making a presentation down in Austin, Texas, and I had the good fortune of having one of the Supreme Court justices from the Supreme Court in Texas in the room when I happened to do one of my presentations. Thankfully, he has the ability to, you know, point people in the right direction. Now, as a Supreme Court justice, he is not capable of doing a thing, but he is capable of actually saying, hey, have a look at this. What we are doing, and the reason why I have been so passionate to be as vocal as I have been, is because at some point, somebody is actually going to land this in front of a person who goes, I'm drawing a line under this and I'm not going to tolerate it anymore. The problem we've had is that we have a public that is incensed because this information is tantamount to the serial killer who leaves a talisman behind at every murder scene, right? These perpetrators are actually admitting to their crimes and laughing full in the face of a public who cannot do anything because the courts refuse and the Justice Department refuse to take the action that is required when a crime is being committed.
The suicide rate is going to be outrageous.
Once people understand that countless physicians have been willfully participating in the homicide of humanity, I cannot imagine what it would be like to live with that.
What about just the people who have been inoculated as well? I mean, what future do they have? Is there an antidote for this thing? Who holds the antidote? Did the serial killers who are admitting to their crime and laughing in our faces, did they also have a cure for this? Or was the cure just to not take it themselves?
If you look at the history of the mRNA technology, the history isn't good. The pathogenic priming that happens with mRNA technology in previous experiments has suggested that the prognosis is in fact quite dire. Ironically, there are a number of treatments that can be considered, but what we do not know, and this is where it becomes problematic to have a manipulated chimeric synthetic mRNA strand, which we know is not derived from a pathogen, it is derived from a computer simulation. We do not know the long effect of where this thing is going to go. So the bad news, Stu, is that there will be consequences that could not have been anticipated because we didn't have this kind of synthetic chimeric alteration in the historical trials. What we had was mRNA strands that were directly derived from pathogens. This one, the spike protein that's in the Pfizer and Moderna injection, this one is a whole new ballgame. And so we actually can't answer the question, is there hope for the people who have taken the injection, simply because the information is not knowable. And it's not knowable because neither Pfizer nor Moderna had an independent investigational review board to review any of this content. So this is actually the fox guarding the hen house. And we don't have any way of accessing information that actually validates that a risk-benefit analysis included the long-term consequence of what happens in the post-injection health of people who receive the injection. We don't know.
It boggles my mind that people are tripping over themselves, have been for months, to go get a needle stuck into them for something where the inserts are left intentionally blank. We know nothing about this thing whatsoever.
Yep.
That's because it's intentionally being hidden. I mean, your right. bottle of Advil has more warnings on it. I mean, that thing folds out to almost a kite size
yeah.
inside of these things that are for a headache.
Yeah.
This is something that's going into your blood, injected with a yeah. needle out of a syringe.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. If you look at the kind of the unpack this thing a little bit, what has been done is we've chosen the cunning use of the term vaccine, despite the fact that vaccine as a defined term, you know, even the patent office had to school Anthony Fauci, as I put in the Fauci dossier, on what a vaccine is, because Anthony Fauci was in fact trying to get a vaccine that wasn't one. And fact checkers hate when I say this, but there's in fact a legal standard for what a vaccine is. And there's also an FDA standard for what a vaccine is. And this is neither. The fact of the matter is, in the case of the Moderna and the Pfizer shot, this is injecting a stimulant to produce a toxin for the secondary benefit, you hope, of building an immune response to the toxin your body is producing. But listen to what I just said, because it's technically, unfortunately, correct. You're not getting a pathogen that your body is responding to with an immune response. You're getting the instructions for your cells to create the pathogen, and then you hope that your body, in response to the pathogen you were told to create, you hope your body comes up with an immune response. But here's the tiny problem. The clinical trials did not measure immune response. They did not measure infection response, and they did not measure transmission response. So every public health benefit that vaccines purport to have was never measured in these trials.
Is this why the magnetism is happening? I mean, the CDC says, no, these shots won't make you magnetic. Do you have any idea if it is these shots making people magnetic?
Well, the magnetism thing has some fairly interesting arguments around some of the ferritin adjuvants and components that have gone into certain ones of the injections. The degree to which those things are verifiable based on the contents of the vaccine would require us to have transparency on what's in the vaccine. And that's where I've tried to avoid jumping into that particular conversation, because I can't comment on what I am unable to know. I am unable to know what is actually going into these shots because it's not transparent.
You've seen the reports on the graphene
oxide, all that stuff,
but you don't know firsthand. I respect that. That's of course very responsible. So what about the transmission part of it? You know, from the injected to the uninjected, this shedding, I guess, is an inappropriate word because that's what viruses do. This is not a virus. This is the self-spreading vaccine stuff has been talked about publicly since, I think I found an article as old as 2008. They were trying to develop these self-spreading vaccines. There are reports, obviously, of, the stopping of bleeding, prolonged periods, menopausal women starting to bleed again, infertility, sterile men, headaches, hangover type symptoms. The list goes on and on.
Yep.
Obviously, people uninjected, around injected people are being affected.
Can you speak
to that a little bit?
Yeah. So once again, the mechanism of action is a challenge when you don't know what the actual components are in the injection. So what we do know is that there has been well-established concern, not only for the transmission of whatever the residue, if you will, the residue of this manufacturing of a spike protein by a human, right? We are not supposed to, just to be clear, let's set the record straight. Humans are not supposed to make spike proteins. That was not part of the divine order that went into a genome of humanity. We were not encoded to make spike proteins. And the problem is, we don't know whether or not what is actually happening is that we're creating a second level pathogen, which is whatever is being expressed. That could be a biologic, that could be a protein fragment, that could be all sorts of other things. But what we do know is that the risk of secondary transmission of clinical symptoms is something that has been known about and documented significantly since the early 2000s. So we do know that there is a secondary effect on the healthy population that is not getting injected. And that documented evidence is critical enough that it was one of the things included for monitoring inside of the clinical trials for these particular injections. Now, the bad news is it wasn't monitored, but that doesn't mean that it wasn't put in to what Pfizer was told to monitor during the clinical trial. So we know that there was a known risk. We know that the risk was identified as something that should be monitored, and we know it wasn't monitored.
And we know it wasn't monitored. They knew then, and they know now, all of them know about the dangers and deadly effects of these shots being called vaccines. This conversation gets really deep. More with Dr. David Martin as we continue with the best of 2021 on The Stu Peters Show. Don't go anywhere.
The medical mafia is ripping life-saving medication off the shelves, overwhelming the system.
You will not fill ivermectin for COVID.
That's against the law.
No, actually it's not.
While communist doctors are doing everything they can to withhold care from patients in need.
Vaccination, Jim, has been the solution to every major public health issue. But when you have a virus that's circulating in the community and you are not vaccinated, you are part of the problem.
But there's hope. Dr. Stella Emanuel is saving lives with early treatments that are proven to work.
I just want to let everybody know, in America, you don't have to get sick. You don't have to wait till you get sick. Everybody needs to have ivermectin hydroxychloroquine in their medicine cabinet.
Dr. Stella is taking patients today. Go to drstellamd.com and use promo code STU to book an appointment and get life-saving meds sent straight to your doorstep. No hassle, no Fauci, only compassion. drstellamd.com, promo code STU.
Well, over Christmas, the globalist, demonic, satanic media started attacking the vaccine police. Why? Because the vaccine police are effective. They're making people aware, the masses aware, of what we know to be truths about the dangers and deadly effects of these bioweapon shots being falsely referred to as safe and effective vaccines. I contribute to the vaccine police, and I'm asking you to do the same thing. Go to vaccine-police.com right now, vaccine-police.com. You don't have to give them millions of dollars. You don't have to give them thousands of dollars. Please make a contribution to this group. Vaccine-police.com. Again, please go to vaccine-police.com. More of the Stu Peters Show next. The most viral moments and bombshell interviews of the past year. Welcome back to the best of 2021 here on the Stu Peters Show. We pick up now where we left off with Dr. David Martin. Who are the people that the words that you used is the DOJ, the law enforcement, is they've been ordered not to do anything with this. Who's making these orders?
Well, so the Department of Justice under the Attorney General has, unfortunately, what's called prosecutorial discretion. I had the very bad fortune of spending a lot of time with the DOJ's antitrust division in the early 2000s. And it was fascinating that I had the opportunity, quite unfortunately, to have one of the senior DOJ members send me a note on their personal email account, not on the DOJ email account, saying that while I had established that a crime had been committed, it didn't rise to the level of prosecutorial discretion. I want you to just listen to what I just said. An official at the DOJ said, you've established, and this, by the way, is a multi-billion dollar crime. So, you know, this wasn't taking a candy bar from a convenience store. This was a multi-billion dollar crime. And the DOJ's official response was, well, we had proven that there was a conspiracy to defraud the government, while we had proven that there was crimes committed and we had proven that there were racketeering evidence, what we had not established was intent.
Well,
okay. So the crime was done. We just didn't get into the mommy issues of the criminals.
Right.
And because we didn't get into the mommy issues of the criminals, the case didn't move forward. Now, it turns out that at that time, the senior advisor to then the president, back in 2001 and 2002, was actually one of the lead perpetrators of the crime, a former executive from Microsoft. I'm not saying that there was a cause and effect of that, but I am saying that it stinks to high heavens that one of the president's closest advisors happened to be one of the criminals. And the fact that there was a decision not to prosecute the crime may have had something to do with the fact that the person who would have been prosecuted was a person sitting next to the president in a lot of pictures. So the issue is this idea. And by the way, Stu, the rest of the world doesn't get this, right? If you and I committed a crime, guess what we wouldn't get to do? We wouldn't get to appeal to the, it's not that big of a crime, because you and I would actually have to face the music. But when you commit a big enough crime and it's egregious enough that the public institutions that are supposed to prosecute those crimes are in fact themselves co-opted, what then you have is a world in which crime can run unchecked, which is exactly what is happening right now. There is no question that the assertions I've made on antitrust felony violations are in fact evidence, clear, no discretion required, compelling arguments, because they meet the definition, right? When Anthony Fauci said Moderna is going to be a front runner in manufacturing a vaccine in the spring of 2020, that statement had no basis in fact. Moderna had never produced a successful vaccine before. They had never produced anything that was safely administered to humans before. And suddenly they are the front runner because Anthony Fauci says so. You dial that one back and say, well, guess what? The reason why he said so is because back in November of 2019, and you heard me right, a month before there was ever a pathogen to talk about.
Unbelievable.
He actually was getting the spike protein transferred from UNC Chapel Hill to Moderna. And by the way, that sounds like a pretty reckless accusation except for the tiny problem of I actually have Ralph Barrick's email right here.
Can't see it because of your green screen there, but.
Well, there you go. I'll just hold it right there.
It's just making you disappear there. Yeah.
Right here.
Yep. Okay.
I unfortunately have the response that Ralph Barrick sent to a major media outlet that states very clearly that he was in fact sending samples in November to Moderna.
And what was that response? Vaccine.
November of 2019, a month before there was any SARS coronavirus.
And what was the response of the mainstream media?
You've seen that paper. You've seen the headline. You've seen the CNN report. Yeah. There's been no response. And the article that was supposed to be published several weeks ago, according to the editor who corresponds with me, was submitted for review and has still not been published. Now, why would you sit on evidence of that?
Well, because you're scared for your life. You're scared for your job. You're scared for your livelihood, your kids. I mean.
Yeah, but Stu, you and I are having this conversation because we actually have life and we have liberty and we have the pursuit of happiness that we value. And we're having this conversation because it would not be worth our lives if we sat on information that allowed for the genocide of our fellow human beings.
That's right.
We wouldn't do it.
But I'm not owned by one of these major corporations.
There you go.
That is a piece of the whole puzzle. And every single one of the major broadcast and cable news networks are very much so. And so when you look at somebody like Tucker Carlson, and he seems to be asking the right questions. Well, he's asking what he's allowed to, and I think that he's pushing the needle.
But he's not closing. You know, he reminds me in part of Rand Paul, when Rand Paul had Anthony Fauci in front of him.
Yep.
And the fact of the matter is, Anthony Fauci lied in Congress, which is a violation of the law, just to be clear. I mean, lying to Congress is, in fact, illegal. When he lied about the gain-of-function research at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, Rand Paul has in his own public records, because I know, because I've actually published these public records and delivered them to Rand Paul's office, I know that he had the ability to deliver the knockout blow, because the knockout blow was, Dr. Fauci, you just said you didn't fund gain-of-function research, so why is it that the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, received a letter from NIH saying that there was a moratorium on the gain-of-function research that you just said you weren't funding? Because I have that letter. I have the letter UNC Chapel Hill got. And I know that it came from NIH and NIAID. So how is it possible, Dr. Fauci, that you can actually tell me that you weren't funding gain-of-function research when your own letterhead says that you were? And why was it that Rand Paul did not deliver that knockout blow when he had Anthony Fauci witness in front of him capable of delivering that blow? My problem is that even the people who are allegedly pushing the needle are not delivering the punch.
Let's get to the motivations of somebody like Rand Paul.
Yeah.
Can you speculate? Why didn't he?
I don't have to speculate. I can see exactly what he did on every one of his social media platforms. He turned it into a soundbite for a fundraising campaign for his reelection. Go on any social media and what do you see? Rand Paul put Anthony Fauci on the ropes, blah, 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 blah. You know, fire Anthony Fauci. And what does the link take you to? Donate to my reelection campaign.
The same thing is going on with every one of these so-called America First powerhouse patriot fighters who I have been incessantly calling out for weeks now. I mean, we have 530 people in jail from a selfie party on the 6th of January at the invite of the President of the United States, ushered into the Capitol building by people posing as police officers, at least dressed as them. So these people are fundraising. That's what they're doing. They're just raising money. They're
grifters. That's exactly what it is. And Rand Paul has not yet And by the way, I mean, with the exception of this beautiful letter that went out on June the 11th from Ron Johnson, which is the June the 11th request for information from the Secretary of Health and Human Services and Francis Collin at NIH, with the exception of Ron Johnson's letter, which actually came as a direct response to information that my wife and I provided to Ron Johnson in a private meeting at the United States Senate office building. You know, an enormous amount of information that is in that letter has actually been requested for public disclosure. And this is coming from the Senate Committee on Homeland Security and Government Affairs. That's not a slouch committee. Homeland Security is kind of an important place,
I would say.
And while they ask for information regarding communication and regarding funding and regarding a number of other things, what they do is stop short, again, of actually getting to the crime. Because the crime includes information about the actual collusion that took place between Moderna, Pfizer, NIAID, CDC, and NIH. And, you know, and obviously their henchmen like UNC Chapel Hill.
So it's okay. So let me just, I want to summarize kind of what we have said to this point.
Yep.
The crime is being committed right out in the wide open.
Yep.
All of the law enforcement agencies that could do something about it are compromised and have been ordered not to do something about it.
Yep.
The judiciary is acting with this in the same way that they acted with massive, obvious election fraud in 2020. They're just refusing to hear it altogether. The elected representatives who you say are supposed to be, or who we think, or who they say are supposed to be out here acting on behalf of their constituents, are in fact just out here grifting and raising money. They know exactly what's going on, but refuse to say something. The media, we know about them. They're compromised and owned by these globalists, leaving only we, the people, to do anything about this.
Well, and the only person who I will provide just air cover enough, because I actually have appreciated my interactions with him, is Ron Johnson. I think Ron has tried to understand the issues. That he has done enough, I am never going to suggest, but that he has at least tried to inform himself. I'm going to go out and say, of all the people I've interacted with, he is probably the furthest down the road of actually standing with the people. So I want to acknowledge the little wins when they exist.
Sure. But people like Gates hosting these parties and Marjorie Taylor Greene, go, rah, rah.
No.
They're not doing jack about
any
of this.
They're not. They are not. And they're actually sitting on their hands and sitting on the evidence and making it abundantly clear that they have a public platform they are not using. And I remind people all the time of the fact that in 1774, most people, 1774, you mean 1776, right? No. 1774. It took about 13 people to actually realize that we as a people had to take action, because people in leadership were incapable of acting. And they are incapable of acting, Stu, because they're beholden to fundraisers. If you are sold, you cannot buy your soul back. You can't. No matter what you do, no matter how you do it, you are in fact always at the behest of whoever your benefactor was. And the fact of the matter is that we now have a public system that has absolutely failed the public.
Globally.
Absolutely.
The world is being subjected, these are David Martin's words, the world is being subjected to a bioweapon that has already killed thousands and will likely impact the morbidity of hundreds of millions. This is organized crime, and here we are debating masks.
Right.
You get it because you're here. Now make sure that your neighbor gets it. Your church congregation gets it. The lady at the supermarket gets it. You've been doing your part, which is why this thing is exploding. GunsAmerica.com is celebrating 25 years in business. They are the most reliable, most trusted online platform for buying and selling guns. If you are a private party or if you're a dealer, the lowest transaction rates and Every transaction within 50 miles of your home is absolutely free. If you open GunsAmerica.com and join the 1.2 million people who trust and use GunsAmerica.com because they're extremely brilliant, you will be absolutely amazed at the amount of guns that are available within 50 miles of you. Those transactions, absolutely free. Plus, hunt 365. 365 days a year, there's a different place to hunt. Find that information at GunsAmerica.com, as well as experts in the field breaking down and reviewing firearms. All of that and more at GunsAmerica.com. Again, GunsAmerica.com. Today, we focused on that Dr. David Martin interview because of its importance, and we hope that you will share it globally, internationally, around the world with as many people as you can. Welcome back to the Stu Peters Show, best of 2021. For the remainder of the week, we will have all kinds of different viral segments, bombshell interviews, all brought to you by Cortez Wealth Management. Don't put your money, your financial future, your retirement, your kids' college education, or their inheritance in the hands of communists. Do business with a like-minded person, a patriot, a Jesus-loving, God-fearing family man who's a husband and a father, and he only does well if you do well. Book your appointment online with Carlos Cortez going into the new year. It's really important. Go to CortezWM.com, CortezWM.com, or call him in the office anytime at 813-448-3446. We will see you tomorrow as the Stu Peters Show continues with the best of 2021. God bless you.